This is Six Eyes of the Six Eyes Radio Network, and welcome to our newest show on the Six Eyes Radio Network with missionary Kenneth Wolfgang. All about love, sex, sex, love, and marriage. That's right. He gets into the discussion, a deep discussion, and hey, this show is not for the faint of heart. It's not for little kiddies. So please, put on the bed and join us by calling 424-243-9617. Don't be shy. Join the conversation.
It's not because God left us, it's because we refuse to heed the mighty counsel of His word. For His hand sustains the universe, and forever He will reign. He, God,
He has not changed.
There is glory in the power of His might. In the midst of the battle, when it seems all hope is gone, He's God.
He has not changed.
Oftentimes He has found me on a face in defeat, crying, Lord, how can I go on? But with hands of love and mercy, He reached out and lifted me. I'm so glad He knows the voice of His call. There's not a valley we can't cross, there's not a mountain we can't climb, if we would learn to hold.
Hello, and I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, better known as God's Elijah to the Church. We just listened to a song called He is God, He is not changed. And that is so true. It's going to be our theme song in this series on the Kicking It with Six Eyes Saturday night for this message, this series of messages. Marriage and sex.
And yes, this is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, better known as God's Elijah to the Church, and I want to welcome one and all to, yes, what may be, and I emphasize may be, depending on you, yes, you, our listeners tonight, may be the last of the programs for marriage and sex, because tonight we wrap things up with our big Q and A tonight. Yes, you tonight get to be involved by asking those questions that we've run through since Nikhail had to kind of remind me, our Princess Nikhail had to remind me. We actually began this back in March, not April, but still a long time we've been at this, unlike some preachers who'd only give you that little 30-minute or an hour message on marriage. And you think, well, you've been fed about marriage. No, we've been at this a long, long time. One Saturday every night, one and a half, 2 hours. We've been going at this, talking about marriage and sex. And here we are now, middle of November, and we're just now wrapping it up. So tonight we're going to start off with an opening prayer. And unlike, see, our homework from last week is basically, do you have any questions or comments on anything you've learned through this whole series? So tonight it's you, dear listener. So that's the homework. So what we're going to first do tonight is we're going to start with an opening prayer as always. And then I'm going to kind of give a summation commentary on everything, that kind of a brief commentary. It may take about 15, 20 minutes or something like that. Then we're going to open up the mics right after a nice little song. I'm going to give you a nice little song here. And then we're going to open up the mics for everybody, for you, dear listener, to ask your questions. And what's interesting is I have already received a question from one of our dear listeners. And what's interesting is she didn't know it was going to be part of the actual commentary. So I'll be actually answering that question ahead of schedule before you, the rest of our listeners, get to ask your questions. But we'll be able to answer that question. Actually, a couple questions they had asked. And we're going to answer those questions right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang. And for those of you wishing to give and help programs like this continue on the air, we want you to go to paypal.com. And once you're there, type in the following email address. That is sixeyes6@gmail.com. You spell it out, the first part of it, six, S-I-X. Then you spell out the word eyes, like the two eyes in your head, E-Y-E-S, then the digit number 6@gmail.com. And then any amount you put down for your donation, no matter how big or small, would be greatly appreciated. And we do thank you. All right. So as you are thinking out your questions and putting them down, hopefully you got a list of them, not just one or two, but as many as you can. And if we got too many questions to be answered by the end of tonight, we will extend it into another Saturday. So don't feel that you are going to miss out on your questions. If we still have more questions, we will continue it into next Saturday's program. But if we don't have enough questions, we will call it a night. And then we'll get into our newest topic next Saturday if all the questions are answered by the end of this evening. Also, for those of you who may feel shy to ask your questions here, I'm also going to give you my email address for questions and comments. I want you to go to feel, here's the email address, send them to feel, like you feel something with your fingers, F-E-E-L, then the letter N as in Nancy, then like you touch something, T-O-U-C-H, and then king, like the guy who wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. Feel and touch king @gmail.com. And in the subject line, put question or comment regarding marriage and sex series. Okay? Once again, the email address that you want to send it to is feel, F as in Frank, E as in elephant, E as in elephant, L as Larry, N as Nancy, then touch, like you touch something, T as Tom, O as over, U as an umbrella, C as cat, H as Henry, and then king, like the king that wears a crown, K as kite, I as an Indian, N as Nancy, G as Greg, @gmail.com. In the subject line, put question or comment regarding marriage and sex series. And then in your email, you could ask your question or give your comment. All right. So we ask you to just send out any of those questions or comments if you feel too shy to ask them right here. But we'd love you to ask them here on the air. They might be interesting to other listeners. Amen. So, all right, I'll give out that email several times more throughout the evening. So, here we go. Let's get an opening prayer in here. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. Once again, as we know, we're going to have another great show. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you would touch each and every listener. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you would help right now each and every listener. Help them to gain understanding. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you would give us that from your word that you would have us to know. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that we have learned, and that, Lord, that we will learn tonight. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would touch each and every heart. We thank you, Lord, for Princess Nikhail, who's been operating the board faithfully each and every Saturday night. Lord Jesus, we know it's a task that has to be done, and sometimes it could be a royal, tough project. But, Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for Six, Lord, who has allowed us this time on his broadcast and given us the space to do so. We thank you, Lord, for him and his team, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for Sister Ruth, who's been faithfully reading our scriptures each and every Saturday. Lord, we want to thank you for her efforts, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all the listeners out there, near and abroad, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch each and every heart. We ask you, Lord, to give them the desires of their heart, Lord Jesus. We ask you to meet their needs, no matter what they may be, physical, mental, or spiritual, Lord Jesus. For that soul who is nearest hell right now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender. Help them to send us an email or even call in and say, this was my night, so we could rejoice with them. And then, Lord Jesus, for that ultimate thing you've asked us to do, you told us to love one another as you have loved us. And you loved us enough to die for each and every one of us. Now we ask, Lord, all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, we want to welcome one and all, as I said here. We want to welcome Princess Nikhail, Brother Six. Brother Dalton, we hope you're out there. Oklahoma, everybody, amen. Because
amen.
We're going to get into some good stuff here. How you doing, Sister Nikhail?
I'm blessed. Thank you so much. Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
I want to say once again, Sister Nikhail, I want to thank you for being faithful to operate the board for us. I know sometimes it could be a royal pain, but you've been there faithful along. Sister Ruth, thank you for reading the scriptures for us. Amen. So, all
you're
right.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Kathy.
How you doing, Kathy?
I'm okay. First listener.
First time listener.
Yes,
well,
I'm actually Oklahoma's girl. Now, this is a little freaky.
Is he now?
He has not been off of my breast since the talk of the breastfeeding. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, hopefully you've been listening in to that because it is scriptural there.
I think he's going overboard. They're sore. What can
Well, the Bible does say you're supposed to, it does say in Proverbs that you're supposed to please him in that way. Amen.
I think he's going overboard. Oh, I got to go. Thank you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Well, tonight, all right. For a little commentary, we're going to start out with, as I said, we are going to start out with a little commentary, a little different from the usual procedure. We would normally start out with the homework, but the homework for tonight, as I mentioned, is going to be your questions and comments after we get done with the commentary. So the commentary goes like this, okay? We have studied since, as Nikhail kind of put me on the right track, about April or so, on this series. It's been a long time. May. Okay, thank you very much for that correction. Thank you very much. May. But it's been a long time. Many months. Many episodes. And it turns out, after looking into it, we have had, as subtopics, under the heading of marriage and sex, subtopics of 98 subtopics. This is why most preachers miss the total message. They cannot preach it in an hour's message. There are 98 topics we have covered under that heading. Some of them seem like they would be crossing each other, but they're not. And some of those topics have had many scriptures Others only had maybe one or two verses, while others have had many, many scriptures. Like, for example, when we were talking about David, it had 13 different Bible contexts. So when we were talking about David and his wives, it had like 13 alone. So 98 different Bible subjects and topics under this heading. Now that is a lot of information that we have covered. Now, what did we learn, basically, in a nutshell? Well, we learned a lot. Well, the first thing we learned was, we learned for sure that what the church taught for many years, they have been teaching for many years that adultery occurs between a husband and wife, and it's one of them that goes outside of that marriage, while fornication is this little teenage boy and teenage girl that go in some parked car somewhere in an alley, and both of those two teenage kids, or maybe two adults that are not married, neither of them are married, and that's fornication. However, by studying the scriptures, studying what God called fornication between him and his people, and studying that angle, and God, what he called adultery from his people to him in the spiritual sense, we found that adultery in the spiritual sense and fornication in the spiritual sense were identical sins. Just like a Michelin and a Goodyear are both the same thing. They are both tires. They're both the same thing. They have brand names. One is a Goodyear, one's a Michelin. They're brand names for the same object called a tire. Well, when both are sex outside of a marriage, in this case, God called it committing idolatry outside of the, quote, marriage to him, his people, committing idolatry outside of marriage to him, he was saying it was basically the same thing. Well, then we looked into other scriptures that people on earth were committing adultery outside of their marriages. And then he also said committing fornication was the same thing we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that a man was committing fornication with his father's, quote, wife, unquote. Well, you can't be a wife unless you're married. So it was obvious as the nose on anybody's face that fornication and adultery are the same identical thing. They are not two separate sins, and they are not, it is not somebody who is unmarried. Somebody has to be married to commit fornication. It was plain to see. Then we continued through and we found that there were certain people that were going around and doing acts outside of marriage known as the, quote, whore. Why? Because they had no interest in being married. They were enticing people who they were not supposed to be. They were enticing married people, whether they were men or women, and they were doing that. And then there was also and God said, you better watch out for these people, because it's like, you don't play with fire and not expect to get burned. And he said, that's why. Because it's basically, you're going to get messed up. Then we went on to study what the Bible had to say about what Jesus had to say on his angle of thou shalt not commit adultery. And he was saying, in simple terms, that if you're married, and you go and look upon somebody who you are not married to, and it's not just saying, oh, baby, she looks nice. It's not just giving someone a compliment, but it's when you lust with the eye of lust, wanting to basically undress them in your mind, and it's like as if you're taking them to bed, that is adultery / fornication in your head, and it's just as bad as if you committed the act. That's what Jesus was saying. Then we went on, and the question was asked, well, who was supposed to be married, how many spouses, before we got into multiple marriage or monogamous marriage that is in the Bible? We looked.
Amen. Hurry up.
And the Bible said that there were certain groups that were to have only one spouse, such as the Levite priest, preachers, deacons. They were to have but one spouse. It said that the Jewish king, he was not to, quote, multiply to himself wives, but it didn't say he couldn't have multiple wives. He wasn't just supposed, it just said that he wasn't supposed to multiply, have so many wives that it was ridiculous. Then we went and searched, but there was other people that nowhere it said that they could not have multiple wives. In fact, we found a scripture that very clearly said, if a man has two wives, the one beloved, one hated, you're not supposed to take the firstborn of the one who is, quote, hated, meaning less loved or whatever, and put that son above or give the inheritance to that son before the one who is truly firstborn. And you never hear preachers ever preach on that. And we brought out that scripture and showed what the Bible had to say about that. Then we finally got into the scriptures that talked about multiple marriage and monogamous marriage to show what did the Bible have to say about that. Does the Bible prove, as the churches have taught, well, it's only those in a certain culture that had multiple spouses, or those who were just rich, or were the Mormons right? And Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, were they right, saying that, well, it was a way to get into heaven and have your to become a god? Well, we found out that, no, there were kings who had multiple wives, and there were certain kings who only had one. We found there were people who were just soldiers, and soldiers were not rich, and they had multiple wives, and some soldiers that were only in monogamous marriages. We found people about middle of the road who had multiple wives and those in the middle of the road who had monogamous marriages. So
now,
we found that that was not true.
I'm sorry.
We found that that was not true for what the church taught, nor the Mormon church. Neither was right. So we had to find out what the Bible really had to say on that front. Then we got into the sexual side of the thing, and we found out that there was quite a few things. We found out that God was not for rape, incest, and people that did those kind of things, well, they got a rock concert in their honor. We found out that a woman, if she was trying to protect her husband and, well, didn't have a problem with her grabbing the attacker's arm, ripping it off and feeding it to him, rip his leg off, okay, beat him over the head with it. That's all right. But if she grabbed that attacker by, well, as the Bible called it, the secrets, well, then she could have her hand cut off. And you weren't supposed to pity her. It was how she went about protecting her husband. Then we got into the issue about homosexuality, lesbianism, and even transsexualism. We talked about that, and how God wasn't really too happy about it because it wasn't a natural thing. We got into clothing, that it wasn't the clothes a person wore if they wore earrings or makeup, but it was what you did with it. Just like if you owned a rifle, it ain't owning the rifle, it's what you did with it. It ain't the fact that you got money, it's what you do with it. Then we talked about, of course, the land flowing with milk and honey. We talked about that, how God was talking about that. We talked about the heave offering and what it was. Well, it was the heave shoulder and the two-wave breasts. And the significance of that, as versus the rest of the animal that was offered, it was that which became the priests and how it tied in with God talking about adult breastfeeding, as our Mrs. Oklahoma said. and her husband getting a little excited about that part of our series. Why? Because God had put that in his word. And he, and the Bible said, Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 to 20, it said, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Let her breast satisfy your about her husband at all times. And that, see, most men seem to always be enjoying, seem to have this fascination with women's breasts. And the reason why is because it was already in the Bible. God knew about this, supposed to be that way. And then we finished out by reading the Song of Solomon, the book of the Song of Solomon, and we found out that Solomon himself, King Solomon, even though he had a bunch of wives, hundreds of them, most of them, he never actually did anything with them. Basically, he was nothing more than a pimp because he used them in idolatry and false god worship, that he only had, he had the relationship with his most beloved wife, to whom he was writing back and forth in the Song of Solomon, and he practiced adult breastfeeding with her, and that's what we found in the Song of Solomon. And so, now, here's some interesting facts that some people do not know, that if they look at their Bibles, they'd find very interesting. Now, multiple marriage. First off, most people miss this point. When Joseph Smith and his crowd showed up on the scene, the Mormons, when they showed up on the scene, all of a sudden the churches, they didn't like what he was doing with his 40 wives. Well, I could see a problem with 40 wives for one guy. I could see a problem with that myself. So they decided to produce the bigamy laws. Yes, go check it out. All you got to do is do a Google search, type in, put in quotes, bigamy laws. And you'll find Joseph Smith's name pops up, and you'll find that they were a felony right shortly after Joseph Smith and his little rigmarole and Brigham Young. Then those laws in each state have went from a felony to only a misdemeanor in recent years. Even in the state of Ohio, that in the 1960s, 1970s, has dropped from a felony to just a misdemeanor. But what's interesting is those laws were not put on the books until after Joseph Smith and Brigham Young of the Mormon Church. Why? Because the Christians, now a lot of people, that it, those who are politicians that may be listening to this, you say, oh, well, there's a separation of church and state. Ha, 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 ha. No, excuse me. The Christians are the ones who influenced those bigamy laws. Even the one that's written for the state of Ohio. It reads, quote, offenses against the family, unquote. Okay? And when you really research that law, it's written as if it were written by Christians. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that a person should have 80 wives or 40 wives like Joseph Smith. Don't get me wrong where I'm going with this. I am saying that the churches, they never had a Strong's Concordance or all of the things that we have, the tools we have of today. Had they had it, they could have done the research like we did for this message, and they would have found the information like we had in this series. They would have known the following facts. They would have known there were 69 total couples listed in the Bible, Old and New Testament. And of those couples, couples in the Bible only having monogamous marriages, monogamous, that's only one man, one woman, there was only 48 listed in the whole Bible, okay? Now, in the of those having multiple spouses, there were 21. Now, Here's what's interesting. Everybody says, well, the multiple marriages, blah, blah, blah. That was only Old Testament, as we learned. There were two by name, the woman at the well and Herodias, who was the brother Philip, Herod's brother Philip's wife, and she was also married to Herod. He took her as his wife, so she had two husbands, so to speak. Now, we find those two in the New Testament. Now, here's what's interesting, okay? So there was multiple marriage in the New Testament. Now, here's what's interesting. Of all of those, 69, now here's what's interesting. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 1, the first census ever taken. There were 603,550 people. These are just men, not counting Levites. You go read the book of Numbers chapter 1. 603,550 men alive as soldiers, armed for war, in Numbers chapter 1. Now, which number is greater, 69 or 603,550 is a lot larger number. And that's only Jewish men. Now, the big question I have is, if that's in Numbers chapter 1, where are all those men's marriages listed? You don't find them. Here's the point I'm making. If those men's marriages aren't all listed in the Bible, only in Numbers chapter 1, and there's only 69 total marriages mentioned in the Bible, then why is it not mentioned? It's because God only selected certain marriages in the Bible throughout the whole Bible, New and Old Testament, to mention because there were certain aspects of those marriages that he wanted us to know about. Otherwise, he didn't mention them because it wasn't important, because they were just your average marriage, and there wasn't anything important about it for our spiritual growth. It's obvious. So these people that go and say, well, a certain thing happened in only Old Testament, well, they forgot that number right there in Numbers chapter 1 that's important. Because you can imagine if they did a census in the New Testament when Jesus was alive, you can imagine the number of people that was alive then. It's obvious that there was a bigger number that was alive in Jesus' day. So it has nothing to do with the fact that it's New Testament versus Old Testament. It has to do with the number of people alive, and obvious that God was not going to list every single marriage and what they did. So it was just obvious that not every marriage was important for our spiritual growth. The point being, there were certain marriages that we studied that gave us a look into the importance of certain issues. And it told us the reason for those marriages. And thus, we found that it was not true what people taught. We learned that it was not culture, it was not wealth, had nothing to do with any of those things that people taught. So, the main point being, and it comes down to this, that God had only two reasons, and now we're going to go look into a couple scriptures as we get ready to come to the end of this commentary. God only gave two reasons for a person if, and notice the key word, if they needed a multiple spouse. If you go look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, but we'll go down to verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Ruth, when you got that, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And then after you read 1 through 5, Ruth, I'll have you jump down and read verse 9 as well.
All right, amen.
Okay, take us there, Ruthie.
Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except if it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. I ended at 5.
Okay, now jump down to verse 9 and read that.
But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn.
Okay, now, we find here that Paul is saying, now, remember what fornication was when you're reading verses 1 and 2. He says, to avoid fornication. Fornication is sex outside of a marriage. So obviously the person is married. To avoid fornication, let every woman have her own husband. Well, how could she have a husband if she's already got one? And let every husband have his own wife. How could he have a wife if he's already got one? To avoid fornication. Well, when you jump down to verse 9, he's saying it's better if they can't contain, let them marry. Then you go, what is he talking about? Read verses 3 through 5. He made it very plain. The only time a couple is supposed to be separated sexually is for fasting and prayer. Now, if they are separated longer than that, for some reason, whether it's for health reasons or for some other reason, such as medical or whatever reason, say one of them had some reason that they, for some reason, say one of them is unable to for some medical reason or whatnot, then there's a problem. And obviously, it said Satan's going to tempt that one of those people in that couple. Now you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now you're going to see what God talked about, a door that he gave. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Ruth, when you got that, I want you to read that for us.
Amen.
All right, take us there.
There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Now, what he's basically saying is he's going to give you an escape hatch to be able to notice he's talked about a temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talked about temptation, same word, temptation. What was the temptation? It's a sexual temptation. And what the church does is says, it's always got to be monogamous or nothing else. And if you can't, if you're a couple that for some reason all of a sudden you're unable, all of a sudden the other person who's capable, they got to be either a nun / pope. You got to be celibate. Well, I thought some of us don't believe in being Catholic. I thought some of us don't believe in going into all that stuff. And all of a sudden, I have no problem if a person's capable. But not everybody is meant for that wife, as Paul said. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, some are meant for this gift and some are meant for that gift. If they're capable, as he said, if they can contain. But if they can't contain, then let them marry. Because it is better to marry than to burn. Meaning, if you can't, I'm going to say it in simple English. This is why we say the kids should stay in bed. If you can't keep the snake in the cage, then it's better, you better be getting married, because it's better to get married than to be living in sin. That's what he's saying.
Good evening, sir. This is Six Eyes. So my question is, if the Bible is written and it's been this way for thousands of years, why do the church shy away from it when that time was written? Why did the church shy away from it?
Okay, that's exactly where I'm headed here. See, when Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, and the Mormon Church started doing what they did, okay, and they saw these guys having 40 wives because they thought, well, the only way to get to heaven, get closer to God, is to have all these wives, because the more wives you have, the more kids you have, and the more kids you have, then you get to the, quote, telestial heaven, unquote. And if you get to the telestial, then you could have all your wives when they die. You get to go to the telestial, then you become a god over your own planet. And then you have all these spiritual babies that are going to populate this planet. And then you're going to be a god over this planet with your spirit wives. Okay? Nowhere in the Bible when we did this study, nowhere in the Bible did it say that. Not one place did it say you're going to be a god over a planet. God said, I am the only God, there's only one, and I'm it. There's none other, okay? There's only one God, his name's Jesus, that's it. One God, numero uno, that's it. There's no other God before him or after him, and that's it. So, but they figure the more wives you have, the more children you have, you can become a God. Nowhere did it say that. But it did say, like in the case of Sarah and Abraham, she had Hagar act as a, quote, surrogate, unquote. Why? Because because he never intended any family line, as he did with some of the daughters in the Jewish law. They didn't have no husband, so they didn't want the inheritance to pass on. Remember the dead brother's law we studied? And they said, well, when one brother died, you pass the wife down to the next one, until a son is born, but that son would go to the first born who had passed on, and so on. Why? Because no family line was to come to a screaming halt. And thus, that's why. So, two reasons: to allow a family line to continue, and B, as I said, to avoid fornication. Those two reasons for a person to have a second spouse. Those are the only two reasons. And the other, that kind of answers, A, the question that the person asked, the listener asked, as I mentioned at the beginning, and another question asked about divorce. Well, in the event that a person is married and there's no problem with their spouse, God only gave two reasons for divorce. A, when a person in the couple is deliberately out there doing...
You are listening to The Talk with me, Ken Wolfgang, here on the Size Radio Network. The phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. This is a recap of our series of love, sex, and marriage. From a biblical standpoint, phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. I want to say hello to everyone that's listening on the line. Call in. Don't be shy. It's The Talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And let me say hello to Pastor Kenneth Bonnet out there, True Faith Ministries. So hello to him and the rest of my family, friends, and fans on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open. Don't be shy. 424-243-9617. Now, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show bring you the best in gospel music and scripture. So we're going to hit the gospel boogie floor, and we're going to be at the gospel buffet getting the word. Amen. So who do we have with us on the line? So I guess Missionary Ken will be back momentarily. This is a recap of our series on love, sex, and marriage. Amen.
Lift your worship. Lord, favor in your sight. Lord, please, Lord, please.
Everything I need is where you are. love to
cry sometimes,
but you won't lose yours.
He's
working it out.
Don't forget tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, get your praise on without leaving the house. Every Sunday, 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show. bringing you the best in gospel music and scripture. We're going to hit the gospel boogie floor, and we're going to go to the gospel buffet and get fed the word. Six Eyes Gospel. Six Eyes Gospel. Tell a friend, 424-243-9617. And you can also enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week. We're on the iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, and Stitcher platform. Simply type in Six Eyes Radio. Listen to the talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Phone lines are open. 424-243-9617. Praise the Lord. Please go like the Six Eyes Radio Facebook page. And you can join the Six Eyes Radio family by going to blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes. SIXEYES. That's blogtalkradio.com/SIXEYES. If you'd like to make a contribution to the station, please go to PayPal. The email address is SIXEYES, the number 6, at gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the number 6, at gmail.com.
For me is unreal. I'm unfaithful to you all the time. I'm ashamed to say that out loud. I'm so sorry, Dad. In the midst of me doing you wrong, I hear your voice say no, daughter, wrong choice. But when I want what I want in that moment, I make decisions I wish that I didn't. And I end up running right back to you. fail you all the time. You won't stop loving me. Your love makes me do right.
He saw the best in me.
He said he won't let him call back in.
Everyone else around.
He's trying to call in now. He said it's like it's blocked. It's hung up.
Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel.
Trying to call him.
He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? He is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am. Help me sing it, yeah, girl. And that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
I'm his.
Said it doesn't matter what
doesn't
I did.
Matter what
he only sees me for who
he
I am. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
With you.
I almost gave up, but
glad I'm gonna be when this is over.
Thank you for enjoying the talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang. We'll see you tomorrow for the Six Eyes Gospel Show. That's 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. The weather's getting cold. What better way to get your praise on without leaving the house from the comfort of your home? The Six Eyes Radio Network. The Six Eyes Gospel Show. That's 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. The number to call is 424-243-9617. That's 424-243-9617. Or you can access us on the web by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Six Eyes, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. So we're going to say goodnight. We'll continue the Q&A next Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 6 Pacific. You've just enjoyed the talk with Missionary Ken Wolfgang. Good night. God bless. Put God first in all that you do. Praise the Lord. Good night.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.